Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. We've all heard the story, if not read, H.G. Wells' The Island of Dr. Moreau. As narrator Edward Prendick accounted the happenings of the island, we got a creepy glimpse into vivisection, which made readers' hair stand on its end. Author Megan Shepherd has now taken the tale one step further, and her novel The Madman's Daughter tells the story from the newly created daughter of Dr. Moreau, Juliet.
Well, when I was a teenager, my favorite reads were the classics, and Dr. Moreau was always one of those that I had in the back of my head. And when I thought about what book I wanted to write next, I actually didn't think about that. I was a big fan of the show Lost. And I was always enchanted by that idea of a mysterious island. And as I was thinking about it, I was kind of thinking back on these classics and realized, oh, well, you know, H.G. Wells did that with The Island of Dr. Moreau. And I went back to reread it for pleasure and was surprised to find it was actually much shorter than I had remembered. It was a novella. And I was so surprised to see that the themes were still so relevant for audiences today. But I did notice that there were no female characters. And I just felt like there was a lot of room for that same story to be told from a totally different perspective and give modern readers, and especially young adult readers, a totally fresh take and some surprising twists to that well-known story.
Was it daunting at all to take something like that on, a classic such as The Island of Dr. Moreau and all of his crazy experiments, and then make it your own?
It was. There are so many H.G. Wells fans. I'm one of them. I think it was very important to me when I was writing this story to stay true to what H.G. Wells had intended. And the changes that I made in the story, I felt like didn't change his original intent and what he was trying to say, what he was trying to achieve. It sort of introduced some new ideas in addition to those, even though it's still set in the same time period, updated some of the concepts for a modern audience, and introduced this new character, which is really where the Madman's Daughter story lies in the character Juliet Moreau. But I always saw her as supplemental to the original ideas in The Island of Dr. Moreau, not at all contradictory. So it was definitely my intent to stay true to his original ideas.
Now, we are brought, as you said, to Juliet, and she's been orphaned. Her mother has died. The doctor is gone and presumed dead, and she is just trying to survive. And there is such an internal conflict happening within her because her family has been shamed because of the experiments. And it's really her trying to find out, who is she? Is she like her father, or is she like her mother, who is a devout Catholic to a certain extent, had been, and who completely shunned what her father had been doing in his laboratory?
Yes, that's one of the main themes that I wanted to explore, was sort of that idea of, are we fated to become who our parents were? And Juliet's identity is so consumed with her father. I mean, the title of the book is The Madman's Daughter. That's really how she sees herself, as well as how the world sees herself. And a big part of this book and the subsequent books in the trilogy are about her kind of breaking out of that and becoming her own person and not necessarily identifying herself with the crimes of her family. And that's one of the things I liked about this book, too, was getting to explore her relationship with her father. And in The Island of Dr. Moreau, we kind of see this external side of him, but seeing it through his daughter's eyes, we get more dimension to him and see him in a different role, not just a scientist, but also as a father. And I think that's something that we can all identify with. Maybe we all have problems with our own families, so we can kind of sympathize with her.
We can absolutely sympathize with her, especially in the sense that all she wants is to hear her father say, I missed you and I'm sorry for leaving you behind. And we're not giving anything away that she is reunited with her father on the island. But in a way, you want him to give her that. But at the same time, you're thinking, with all of the experiments, you're such a monster. Just be done with her and just say, no, you can't stay here.
Yes, he's doing such what seem to be terrible things there. And she recognizes that, but I think that in a way she can also see a little bit of why he might be doing this, or at least how he got started doing this. I mean, there's even things today where we use, you know, pig heart valves in modern medicine. And so there might be some beneficial ramifications for what he's doing. And I think she keeps trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because it's her father and because she knows that a big part of her is him as well. And she's been alone for so long that I think she just wants this last chance at a family and is willing to overlook things that normally she would be smart enough to see from the start.
She also has that scientific mind, even though he still thinks that she's well-bred enough to marry well, even though she has been completely disgraced back in England because of him. He says women are not meant for science, and I wish you had been a son.
Yes, and he has an apprentice named Montgomery, who is a servant, and it's a little ironic that Dr. Moreau has such supposedly modern belief that he doesn't think that the lower classes are incapable of learning. So he's more than happy to teach the servant boy all of his science, but he still has these very archaic ideas that women are incapable of learning. And so he sort of refuses to teach his own flesh and blood these things and has certain expectations as far as what she should be interested in and her duty as a daughter, which is to be obedient and to get married. And that's really the extent of how he sees her role.
And thankfully, she isn't that obedient daughter and that she is curious. I mean, being on the island, she has firsthand experiences with her father's experiments, and they are in the form of the servants. And Balthazar is the first one that she meets, who she meets in England with Montgomery, which is how she gets to the island. And she has this moment where she realizes how much her father is playing God by these rules that Balthazar is repeating over and over again. Thou shalt walk on two legs, and thou shalt not eat meat, and thou shalt not kill. And she's like, they're commandments, but they're not the Ten Commandments. And it sounds like my father.
Yes, and that's also ironic because Dr. Moreau has given up everything that has to do with religion and turned his back on it. And has never been a religious person at all, kind of scorned that side of life. And yet here he's taught his creations these rules, which do sound quite a bit like the commandments. And you mentioned the character Balthazar, who's sort of a creation, but a rather sweet one. And Balthazar has actually found religion and reads the Bible. And in a way, it's sort of Moreau's creations are more human than he is, in a way.
That's a very good way to put it, and I absolutely agree with you there, and especially how you let us into Dr. Moreau's mind through Juliet and how he thinks that he is infallible and that he is always right, but we see, as Juliet and Montgomery see, that his experiments are learning and they are morphing and becoming their own people, as it were.
And that's a big moral struggle for Juliet and the assistant Montgomery, because for good or bad, these creatures do exist. And it's sort of up to them to determine, you know, what should happen to them. I mean, they have become cognizant. Some of them have found religion. And so that is sort of one of the big debates in the book is, was Moreau wrong to create these creatures that, in a sense, are quite human and do have some wonderful positive traits. And there is one other character in the book named Jaguar, who was created in the same way, kind of from an animal. But he has actually turned his back on Moreau and on these commandments, and he wants to go back to what he was. He wants to regress back into an animal because he's sort of the only one who believes that that's what they actually should be, whereas the other beast men are so admiring of Moreau that they want to be human and they want to try as hard as they can to be these unnatural creations.
And then there's Edward, and he was found while Juliet and Montgomery and Balthazar were going to the island, and he had been the sole survivor of a shipwreck. And it's interesting finding out that dynamic of a stranger coming onto the island who supposedly just knows absolutely nothing about what is going on, and watching the interactions between he and Juliet and saying whether or not this is a good place or a bad place and what to do next and whether or not they should stay there.
Right, because if you are, you know, going under the assumption that they're both new to this island, you'd think that they would react in a similar way. And Edward tends to have, you know, what you would expect to be a normal reaction. He gets there, he's suspicious of why this formerly wealthy doctor would have banished himself to this very remote island, and especially when they come across the laboratory, is very suspicious about what he's doing, doesn't think it's, you know, a place for them to be, and is anxious to leave. Whereas you have Juliet, in contrast, who, because it's her father, is willing to overlook some of these things and is kind of purposefully keeping herself in the dark and is always willing to give him a second chance. And I think it's lucky for her that she has Edward in her ear reminding her that this might not be the island paradise she thinks it's going to be.
And while all of this is going on, you really have this beautiful arc of Shakespeare throughout the book. What was it about that that made you wanted to draw in different characters and sort of plot lines within this?
Well, I felt like because I was so interested in the classics, in a way it would make sense for my characters to be interested in what would have been the classics to them. And Moreau is such an educated person. He has a huge library at home, and he actually had his assistant bring his personal library all the way from England to this remote island off the coast of Australia. And some of those books were the full collection of Shakespeare. And so they're sort of limited on the island as far as what they have for reading material. And Shakespeare is a big part of that. And some of the themes, I think, in Shakespeare's books, such as The Tempest, one of the characters is reading The Tempest in one scene, can be reflected in sort of what's happening on the island in The Madman's Daughter at the same time. And when you also think about a person, Dr. Moreau, who is playing God and is creating this new life, essentially, it makes sense that he would have kind of an arrogant way to name them and to see them. And so he does name his creations after Shakespearean characters. And I think that does kind of go back to his arrogance and his sense that he is their creator.
He's the director of the play, and they're just
exactly.
His characters.
Exactly.
Well, it is an amazing book. It is the first in the trilogy. It's called The Madman's Daughter. Megan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Again, the name of Megan Shepherd's novel is The Madman's Daughter. It is published by Bowser and Bray. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Walk on two legs, not on four. Walk on four legs, breaks the law.